Our first reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Hear now these words. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all the list to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, a continuation of the reading we just heard from the 24th chapter of Luke. And I will be picking up at verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? And that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. You know, I'm constantly amazed where sermons sometimes come from. Just last night, I was in my car with the radio on, and I heard a review of a new album by country singer Loretta Lynn. And it changed how I was preparing to speak with you this morning. Well, first of all, that's right, Loretta Lynn has a new release at 83 years old. Talk about resurrection now. Well, what caught my attention was the cut that was being played from this album, one of the songs they were playing. And the song then reminded me of a book from a few years ago by seminary professor and theologian Tex Sample. And this book was about the soulful, spiritual, and theological themes of country music. Anyway, back to Loretta. The title of the song and the lyrics she sang were, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Now I ask you, how profound and true is that? We all want to go to heaven, we just don't want to die. This reminds me of another old story of the revival meeting where everyone in the whole church went forward at the altar call except for one man on the back row, and the preacher shouted back to him. He says, brother, don't you want to go to heaven? And the guy shouted back. He says, I sure do, but it looks like you're getting up a load to go right now. We all want to go to heaven, but we just don't want to die. Well, the good news of Easter is that we don't have to physically die to go to heaven. The good news of resurrection is discovering heaven, living in the eternal presence of God now, today. Now, I've preached over 25 Easter sermons, and just about every year I discover something a little bit different about the story of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, it's not that I discover anything new. It's that I was ready to hear it. I confirmed one of my oldest personal mottos, I'm not stupid, just slow. As the old proverb goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And while reading Luke's account of the resurrection this year, I realized something that I had never seen before. No one actually witnesses the resurrection. All of the stories are after the fact. What the disciples discover, and when we say disciples, we're talking about the women first and then the men. What they discover is an empty tomb. And in some accounts, there are glowing angel-like men telling them Jesus has risen, but no one actually witnesses the resurrection of Jesus. What we have are stories of encounters with Jesus. In the story as told in the four Gospels and the book of Acts, between the empty tomb and what we call the ascension, between those two events, there are at least 10 appearances and encounters with Jesus. Five of these are on that first day that we now call Easter. And we just heard one of them. Now, I do want to call our attention to the fact that our lectionary text for today, for Easter, was the first reading we heard from Luke. And in that reading, look closely, Jesus does not appear. As a matter of fact, had we followed the lectionary reading, we would have an Easter story without Jesus. His name doesn't even appear in this story. It ends with everyone amazed at an empty tomb, but no Jesus. Then the very next verse begins with these words, "Now on that same day." On that same day, two of them, followers of Jesus, disciples, are walking along the road to Emmaus. And one of them is named Cleopas, which is not even a name of one of the 12 disciples, but a disciple nonetheless. And the other is unnamed. Now, I would add here that there is a good deal of speculation that perhaps because this disciple is unnamed is because this disciple is a woman. And that perhaps this is a couple. Linguistically, this is confirmed because through the whole story of this road to Emmaus, they are referred to by the collective pronoun they, as if they were a couple. But regardless of who they were, Jesus appears to them. And without getting into the particulars of the story, which in themselves are amazing, I want us to focus on one characteristic of the story. And this characteristic is found in all of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Those being encountered do not initially recognize Jesus. He is first described as someone else, a gardener, a stranger, a man on a lake shore, or perhaps a ghost. And it is only after engaging this other person that those encountering Jesus actually recognize Jesus. The resurrection story is not only about an empty tomb, as it is a story about those who knew, believed, trusted, and followed Jesus, encountering him in other people. Which, by the way, if we go back and read in the gospel stories themselves, this is just how Jesus told them he would appear to them. In the least of these, when least expected, Jesus tells them, I will soon be gone, but then I will be back. Let me take just a moment to share a personal story of resurrection. Charlie Moorfield was iconic and legendary in our family. As a small child, I heard stories of Charlie Moorfield. He was my daddy's best friend in World War II. They went through training together. They went to the South Pacific together. They came home together. Charlie Moorfield was bigger than life to me as a child. And on Christmas, it was always a great occasion when my daddy got the card from Charlie Moorfield. He would even announce it, Charlie's card is here. And we would all run, and he would read the card from Charlie. And at Easter, the same thing would happen. Charlie's card is here. I never met Charlie Moorfield when I was growing up. I always heard about him. Well, when I was 16 years old, my daddy went off from our little town just outside Atlanta up to Charlotte, North Carolina, to a reunion with some of his World War II buddies, and Charlie was there. And he was going to Charlotte for the weekend to enjoy his old war buddies. There were about a dozen of them. And they got together in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Charlie was there. So my daddy went off to this reunion, and they were having a great time at breakfast. And at the breakfast table, my daddy had a massive heart attack and died right there in the room. I was 16 years old. But I didn't deal seriously with my father's death until I was nearly 30. That's how deep the pain was buried. And the beginning of that healing was about the time I was 30. I decided that because I was then living in Charlotte, North Carolina, of all places, I wanted to know more about that day that my daddy died. So I looked up Charlie Moorfield. Now, this was before the internet, so I had to actually call my mother and get some telephone numbers and addresses. And I found that he lived just up the road in Greensboro, North Carolina. So one Saturday morning, I got up and I drove to Greensboro. I had called Charlie, told him I was coming. He was expecting me. And we met, and it was like we had known each other. We sat around his house, around his yard, around his kitchen table all day long. And he told me stories of my daddy that I had always wanted to hear, but never got the opportunity because I was 16 years old, and 16-year-olds don't have too much time for conversations with their fathers. But I finally got to hear some of those things that I had wanted to know. Now, what I didn't know before I got there was that Charlie Moorfield had a son about my age. who was a pilot in the Air Force. And about 10 years before our conversation, his son Tommy had been the co-pilot of a big cargo jet plane that crashed into a mountainside just outside La Paz. And we sat there at his kitchen table. A 30-year-old who had lost his father as a teenager, and a 65-year-old who had lost his son in his 20s. And somehow, we both had the opportunity to talk to those two people. And my friends, that was resurrection. And if that's not resurrection, I'm not sure what it is. Because this is the really good news of the gospel. Resurrection is not just about Jesus. As Jesus himself promised, because he lives, we too live. Resurrection is about us. And just as Jesus teaches, heaven is not some place in the clouds after we physically die. Heaven is all around us. It's all around us when we die to the illusion that we are somehow separated from God. Because Paul says nothing can separate us from God, not even death. And this is why Loretta Lynn's song is not totally true. You don't have to die to physically go to heaven. Heaven, resurrection, is all around us. If we will only let go of the lie that it's not. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And so are you. Amen. My friends, I don't know about you, but often around this time of year, when people know that I am a Christian, they will ask, "Do you believe in resurrection?" And my answer to that has become, "Believe it? I've seen it." We all have experienced resurrection in our lives. All we need to do is just shift just a little bit and realize what Jesus tried to tell us over and over again, that this whole stuff about the gospel and salvation and heaven and resurrection is about us. It's about us discovering new life. I want to close with a poem. This is a poem written by a dear friend of mine, and it is called Resurrection. An ordinary one takes longer than the 3-day miracle, but wait, it will come. There must be time to cancel the memory of oven doors closing with soft pneumatic whoosh and artificial wreaths fade slowly. Then there are possessions, soft hats resembling their owners and sweater pockets still bulging with illegible notes. But after 6 months, or a year at most, there begins the benign, haunting, familiar hum or whistle, brush upon clothing, upon skin, presence, remembrance. You stand at wintered windows and catch their images in your face, their gestures in your limbs, spirits reclothing themselves in your flesh. And this is what Easter is about. Jesus reclothing himself in our flesh. This is good news. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And that is reason to sing hallelujah.